This is Retrobits After Hours.
Well, hello, good residents of Rack Addicts Street, or Podcastville, or something. Welcome back, episode 97, and you might have noticed we missed a week for the first time in 96 or 97 episodes. We're very sorry. But Pete and I were both undirt weather, as they might say, where they have that accent, a little bit ill, but we are licking our wounds, as Pete likes to say, and we're getting back to the codpasting. I've actually spent some time doing some DIY-ish, catifying, as Jackson Galaxy would put it, our office room, which is where... It's kind of a hybrid room, this one. It is both spare room, office, and the garden room. It is where all the plants live. And naturally, cats like dangly bits of plants, and they won't stop going and trying to bite them. So we have to banish them if they get too interested in the plants. So the DIY involves putting up shelves, which makes me feel like an adult, which is kind of fun. I had an IKEA trip. Shelves. Plants. Hooray! It should look quite nice, but hopefully they can be in there a bit more, little cats, and annoy us with their presence. What have you been up to, Pete?
Well, apart from sort of sitting around and feeling sorry for myself because I wasn't too well over the last week or so, I've actually managed to cut some wood.
Ooh. So that's not a euphemism.
No, not at all. I've actually got the table saw running.
Ah, yes, cleared and free of space.
Yes, I hadn't used it for quite some time, so I did some practice cuts.
Oh, yep.
Get used to it. It's a bit of a scary machine. And getting ready to do the long-promised cases, actually
yes.
Two off.
What did you say you'd cut? Because the bit of lovely ply that sort of made its home in this room is still where it was.
Yes, so I've actually got some excess oak from the construction of the moth.
Ah, the moth too, yes.
Yes, the moth too.
Mm.
And I was cutting that in the thought of making a two rows of 84 HP unit,
yes.
For silver modules.
A silver sidecar?
Yes, that
awesome.
Type of thing. And
or was that going to be your kind of multicoloured case? So you didn't have to worry about your lovely colour scheme.
That's kind of gone out the window since the Deckard's voice was returned.
Oh, of course,
so
yeah.
I'm back to black and silver. So
I mean, it wasn't much of a departure at sort of an off-grey, greenish
tinge. Slightly off-colour, though. But alas, it went. Well, I say alas, I mean, I made that decision to back it and replaced it with other items. So the need for a multicoloured case or have a case full of multicoloured modules has been staved off for now. Having said that, the item we're going to be talking about later on has got a distinct colour to it as well.
We'll see how tempted you are later then.
Certainly. So I cut some wood, made a lot of sawdust, and
nice.
Sort of working out how I can extract it best. I've got all the extraction equipment, but a lot of it isn't installed, so I do need to get that done. And then I shall be... up and running. I mean, it normally takes me a bit of a run-up to get going with these, especially if I haven't attempted any of this for quite some time. I've got to get into the wood-cutting vibe.
The thought process. What genre of case are you going for? Suitcase? Sort of desktop-y thing, like a mini-moth?
Yeah, it was that. A sort of very deep, skiffy type thing.
Yeah, with a little angle in it, maybe?
No, just literally just oblong.
Yeah.
But just enough to take quite a chunky power supply.
Yeah, gotcha.
Similar sort of setup to the black case, but just a different dimensions and a different size rails.
Yes, indeed. Sounds great. Does it have a nice grain, the wood you're planning to use?
It's exactly the same as the moth. So
I can't
it's
remember
white oak.
Okay, yeah.
But quite a struggle to cut. It's
quite a dense.
You get
dense
quite
one,
a lot of charring on the edge. So I'm just working out how I can best deal that. I mean, I could plane it afterwards, but I'd rather be able to cut it without too much charring.
Lower speed and cut slowly? Does that work?
There isn't a speed setting as far as I'm aware on the table. It's kind of just go and push it through.
Yeah.
And don't cut your fingers off.
Yeah. That's always the best. There is a bit of a raft of synth news to go through. Shall we begin?
Yes.
Let's save the most exciting to last because I did watch the full demo of that fun one. It does sound amazing. Let's deal with one thing that we've been following intently for a while. And I will warn you, you may want to be sitting down when we reveal the money, but the Rhodes Mark 8 is available for pre-order. project in production currently, apparently, and I have gained access to the back door of the website. I haven't really. You could have got this if you signed up to their mailing list, I believe, but a good friend has allowed me access so we can look at the options and how much they cost. So, we can go for all the basic options that cost nothing. Let me do that quickly. So, prices in the Great British Pounds or something, pounds sterling, without tax, which would be 20% for us here, and without shipping, which is probably going to be expensive because it's big and heavy. The base price. Are you ready? Sit down. Be careful now. £6,795.
Yes.
Ooh.
I certainly won't be rushing out to place an order. Mm. Or rushing to my computer, rather, to place an order.
No. But at least the deposit is 20%, so it'll feel like less when you actually get to buy it, or when they're going to deliver it to you.
It's a bit like the price from the Black Corporation on that Roland-esque synth when I first saw the price and then realised that was just the deposit.
Yep. Oh my. So there are options. Lots of options. The standard sort of colours. The first one is the hood. So the top bit where you might put a small other synthesizer if you wanted. Black is standard and costs you no extra pounds. You have a few sparkles. There's gold and silver sparkle at £250 each. Then these are sort of flat, but I think kind of that glossy guitar type finish. You've got some nice ones. There's a baby blue, which is kind of cool. Khaki or a grey if you're boring. There's orange, which would probably look awful, red, stuff like that. Those are all £195 each, but of course we're going to be specking out the top model because why would we not want to do that? You can get a smoked transparent lid that lets you see the tines and probably the hammers for £400 extra.
Mm.
Bargain. There is also a bottom shell, which is kind of the bit that it looks like it kind of sits in. So that's the trim around the edges that you can see from all sides. Tolex, black Tolex, is the free option. And if you're feeling like you've got a lot of cash, you can get a nice walnut for £795 extra. Mmm, delicious. I don't think it looks very good, but the option's there. You have a black or silver anodized front panel option, which they're both the same price. I think silver looks odd, whatever. Then there's the effects panel, which we'll go into that later, which costs you £750 extra if you want the effects section. You also have a colour option for your preamp panel, which is on the left. No money on that. Keyboard, no options. It's just, I don't know why that's even a section. You can't take the keyboard off. Anyway, and then you can buy a stand as well, so just your classic legs to give it that proper silhouette. For £375. That brings our base price for the top-end model to be £9,115, or if indeed you are in the UK and you want to actually buy one of these things, let me put VAT on there for you, just so you know that it's £10,938.
I can see people buying them just as statement pieces to have in their sort of wonderfully designed apartments.
Yeah. I'm sure serious Rhodes players, probably already have a vintage one, or they've gone and bought the vintage vibe, which I imagine is cheaper. I don't know.
Well, we said before, they're charging this because they can.
That's true.
It's a bit like anything of the sort of re-releases we've seen in the past few years, when the re-release of the Model D, the ARP 2600.
Expensive because
Profit
they
5,
can be. Yeah.
They charge what they charge because they can do.
Indeed. So Rhodes say they're going to be making a maximum of 500 pianos a year. See, I'm not really sure. I don't have any reference on sort of manufacturing-y type things. Is that a lot?
It seems quite a lot for an expensive,
yeah,
I would imagine, relatively handmade item.
Yeah, definitely. But let's have a look at the details. As I mentioned earlier, you can choose to have the effects or not. It does have pretty lights on it, which is kind of fun. But let's have a look at the onboard effects section. So, you have a built-in VCA compressor, so an analog compressor. There's low noise, analog stereo bucket brigade style effects. Not style, they are bucket brigade circuits, chorus phaser and delay. All available at the same time, it seems. Let me zoom in on this picture here. So, you have, going from left to right, a chorus and phaser rate button with two options. Interesting. Delay time and feedback. How does this work? I'm very confused.
I think it's one of those things that a lot of people who are going to buy one will buy one when they're available, or pre-order one.
Yeah.
And then after that, I wouldn't be surprised if the sales tail off a bit.
Yes.
I can't see consistently selling 500 every year.
Yeah,
who are you selling them to?
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe I mean, acoustic pianos are phenomenally expensive, aren't they? And I assume they do steady business.
To that extent, I can't... I don't know if they sell that. That seems quite a large amount.
Yeah, it does. I don't know.
I mean, I could be totally wrong. I assume they've done their market research and they feel there's a market for it out there.
Yeah. Well, no reason they can't say, cool, we've done a couple of years of 500, now we'll just do 100, something like that.
Yeah, but that they would have a certain business model that they've generated for this new company, and it obviously relies on selling that many per year.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, I know it's going to be globally, and they've got the name, which is good. Yeah, I'm always caught out with these things. Having said that, I've seen that, you know, in relation to our experience of retail, you definitely see that on certain products, there's an initial rush, and then it really falls away. Depends if it's a limited release, and then there's a bit of panic about it,
but panic buying,
this is constant production sort of indefinitely, isn't it?
Time will tell. I wonder if they'll go to retailers. Anyway, back onto that effects panel. You have a compression dial which gives you access to the ratio. Chorus gives you, it looks like those buttons will control if you are changing the rate or the depth. That must be the thing. Same with phaser, you've got a rate or depth thing, delay, time and feedback, and also there is a button. Tap tempo button, that's nice. And then a dry and wet on the delay. Lovely stuff. The preamp section has volume, envelope, and drive. I want to find out what that envelope control does. You have an EQ which has low, a sweepable mid-frequency from 360 Hz to 4,800, it seems. Oh no, it's in shadow. 7,200. And then you have a high-frequency band, and a very pan, which I guess is, auto pan, almost Leslie sounding things. That's kind of cool. You can turn those on and off. Let's find out. Very pan with extra wave shapes and audio rate modulation if you want it. Two expression pedal inputs. Lovely.
I mean, for your average musician, they can get a lot of these sounds from their Nord or...
Yeah, or something like the Spectrasonics thing. Keyscape. Yeah, that's really highly regarded, I believe.
Yeah, so if you're just going for an approximation, you're fine, unless you're in a studio and you have to have the just absolutely just so sound of a Rhodes and it has to be just perfect. But how many studios, I mean, loads of studios are already going to have, as you say, one, an
a
old
vintage one.
A vintage one.
And it will sound a bit wonky in a really nice way.
Yes, and it'll be all set up with various, maybe some pedals and bits and pieces to, you know, they've got it just so.
Yes. Ooh, looks like we've got a send and return actually on here, effects loop. There are two balanced XLR outputs for the stereo part of the stereo effects.
I can see where all the cost is coming from. They've got this outboard integration.
Yeah.
So it really seems to be geared up for serious recording.
It does. Yes. Does it have a lid? It does have a lid. So I think they're anticipating touring as well. Well, it better be built properly if it's that expensive. But there we are. Nearly £11,000 if you want the full beans. Ooh. There we are. The Rhodes update. Right. Got a small one for you. From, who is this? Kilpatrick Audio. Small, they're English, I believe. Kilpatrick Audio? I might be making that up. But Kilpatrick Audio has teamed up with A Yellow Sign to produce a Buchla module that speaks my language. It is the Sextuple Quadraphonic Spatial Director. That is six joysticks on a giant Buchla model for quadraphonic mixing and such. And it's super cool, and they might sell two of them, I assume.
So is it Buchla compatible or is it a Eurorack compatible?
It is a Buchla module. So Buchla compatible, Buchla, Banana Jackie, the bits and pieces.
But made by a third party.
Yes, indeed.
Are there any other third party Buchla?
Oh, yeah. I've seen a few. Obviously, it's not that popular because not many people have Buchla.
And the cost of a Buchla.
Yeah, but it's there. It's kind of cool. I assume it would be made to order, but I do like my quadraphonic stuff. That's quite fun.
Again, something for people with deep pockets.
Yes, indeed. It can actually be used self-contained in a separate box if you wanted. That'd make it a lot more useful. Ooh, I just saw the price.
Go on.
We're speaking in US dollars. Place your bets.
$6,000.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's not actually made by Buchla. So if you want it in the standalone enclosure, it'll be $2,250.
Oh, bargain.
Bargain for all that six-channel quadraphonic mixing that you need to do as well. But I do appreciate that it exists. That's quite cool. Dreadbox. Dreadbox time. They're back again out of the middle of nowhere. They're doing another one of those little DIY kits. Like they had, no idea what it was called, but that sine spring reverb droney situation, as well as the little Erebus. They now have Dysphonia, which seems to be named along the lines of their chromatic series of modules, and indeed the graphics are very similar. It is just a simple one oscillator voice, but it looks pretty cool. You've got a modulator, so LFO style thing. You've got a just a trigger then fall envelope, low pass filter, an LFO that is different from the first LFO. I'll find out why. A 12 dB low pass filter. I don't know how many, what kind of slope the other low pass filter is. You then have a delay, which is the same as the Erebus. There's a mixer, a mult, three VCAs, very nice, and your oscillator with your classic wave shapes for €185, excluding VAT.
Available from Thonk or?
Dreadbox, but I assume Thonk at some point, because yeah, they normally do that.
And what format? Is it a desktop or a Eurorack?
Desktopable just by the expedient of a few long standoffs on the rear of two PCBs. USB powerable, but then it is a Eurorack faceplate, so you can stack it in a case as you normally would. It is 24 and 12 dB filters, 24 dB low pass, and 12 dB multimode, which can self-oscillate, the multimode one.
That's quite a good price for a complete voice, isn't it?
Yeah. €185 is the kind of early bird special, and then it's €220.
Still not too bad at all.
Not bad. I'm still annoyed that because I did hesitate and almost get that Spring Reverb-y drone-y bit, which would have been nice. Do you remember that Spring Reverb multi-EQ filter desktop unit that I spoke about a million episodes ago? Called the Fierlet or something, that I sort of signed up to the mailing list and then went back a few days later to realise that the waiting list was now 5 years long.
I certainly remember the extended waiting list. I can't remember much about the product.
Yeah, but that Dreadbox thing reminds me of that. And since the Fierlet has not really materialised in any way, I wish I'd got the Dreadbox thing. Ah, annoying. I'm going to have to Google what that one was called because it was really interesting. DIY. Ah, it was the Dreadbox Antiphon, which was an 8 sine wave oscillator spring reverb drone machine, which I wish I had. But alas, it was a limited run kind of thing. Silly me.
I had considered building the Erebus kit.
Oh, yeah.
When Thonk had it in stock. And that wasn't a bad price either. I say, if you're not frightened of a soldering iron, and you're, you know, I can imagine it's not exactly a kit for beginners, but if you fill up to it, as I say, it's
actually it says not... it is for beginners. There's lots of surface mount stuff, but it's all pre-done, so it's just panel components, which kind of makes it boring for people like us that enjoy the process, but still cool.
So a lot of the risk has been removed from from the build process.
Exactly.
Makes sense. I mean, there's much more chance of success, the thing actually working at the other end.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm on the Tilda Elektriska website for the Fierlet. If I click on the wait list, yes indeed, wait time, over 5 years, and no chance. I am on the waiting list, so maybe one day. Maybe on episode 573, I'll say I've got one.
So are they actually fulfilling any orders at the current?
Absolutely no idea.
I note that I had a quick gander at the Stochastic Instrument website, and they are still fulfilling back orders. They're still not able to order it. And how long ago did I get mine? It's a substantial amount of time.
Months and months. Quite a while.
Over 6 months.
Yeah.
If not longer. So these things can, if you're only a small outfit, these things can take an extended amount of time.
Mm. I did find that there's a thread on the Lines forum about the Fierlet, and here, somebody saying here that they reached out to the guy on Instagram to find out that there are 141 on the waiting list. But it does seem that he's making them.
Yeah, you can imagine if you're one person on your own, you're building them, and then you're having to do all the quality control and all the testing and everything. It could be quite laborious.
Yeah, I mean, if he's doing them one at a time, and he's doing it for 5 years, it'd be
a nightmare. And he's gainfully employed elsewhere as well,
yeah,
full-time.
Let me have a... Let's find him. Ah, is it Gard Olsen? Yes, that's the chap. Right, let's see if I can find any updates here. Oh, no, yep, he's absolutely making them at some point. Yeah, there's a couple that are going out here. They look a little bit more swish now. They've got a little wooden protector over the top of the exposed spring reverb, and he is offering an audio input for them as well. So it's happening very, very slowly. But yeah, that's cool.
So as you say, you're still on the waiting list, so you'll be happy to receive one if you're offered one.
If I'm offered one, I will pull strings to make sure I can get one if I can, because... Well, I'll be able to sell it if I don't want it. And like I did with the Plinky, probably make some profit. So, because that had a waiting list of about 4,000 on Thonk.
That's quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah. Do I feel guilty about it? No, I don't. Not at all. Right. There goes the Dreadbox thing. That means it's the star of the show. Get it? Get it? Pete, do you want to take this one away?
Yes, I was quite excited, pleased. I know it's been a long time coming. Strymon have announced the Star Lab, which is a... what do they call it? They had a kind of description of it.
Time Warped Reverberator.
Which is very much the description of the night sky.
Oh. Well, it's the same colour as the night sky, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm thinking. So the Star Lab is a URAC module. It's very night sky-ish.
You've got one, haven't you?
Yes. Night sky?
Yeah.
So I'm seeing it as the sort of, not quite, but almost the night sky equivalent in URAC format.
Mm-hmm.
Although this has got the Carpal Strong bit going on as well. Got a few
other.
So a very interesting module. Looking at £529 UK or $649 US.
Typical big Strymon money.
Yes, but for what it does,
mm-hmm.
I can definitely see myself getting one of these.
Yeah, it certainly sounded just as lush as I would want from the demos. And of course, the Strymon demos by that one guy are always really good. So definitely worth a watch if you pop onto their channel.
One of the chief sound designers.
Yes, I believe so. That's his title on the videos anyway, sound designer.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been a long time coming because they had been talking about sort of more modules from way back.
Yeah, well, it was Magneto, and then a little bit later they brought out that little pedal interface, which was cool, and then nothing. 2018 was the Magneto, it seems.
That's quite a stretch of time now, isn't it?
Yeah, although it feels like it was longer.
Well, it's been a long few years, especially with COVID and et cetera, et cetera.
This last 1 year has felt like two. You know how it goes. But yeah, it's cool. I mean, whenever you're doing a digital delay-ish something, since, was it the sparse control? You can go from individual delays through to that lovely smeared big reverb. If you're doing something that's got delay anywhere near it, it'd be kind of rude not to do Car Plus Strong in here. I mean, it's a little bit buried and slightly menu-y to get there, but it sounded Car Plus-y, as it do.
I like the fact that virtually every aspect of this is modulatable. It's got an input and an output, etc., etc. So I think it'd be quite a nice... I mean, as I say, it's almost a voice, isn't it? It does say synth voice on the description.
It can do sort of octave reverb-y type things, though it's not labelled as such. It's in the harmonic section, the sort of shimmer. I thought it sounded really, really nice. I'm quite fussy with my shimmers because, you know, sometimes if you're doing an octave up and it becomes really sort of plasticky and gross sounding, none of that here, which is why I normally don't really go for much octave up, but I'd definitely put more in if it sounded that nice.
Their algorithms are generally really good.
Definitely. I find that's definitely the place where they stumble. The cheaper reverbs is on a shimmer.
I wonder if you could do a little performance with just this unit feeding itself back into itself. Somehow.
Don't see why not.
Is there any, I can't see on this picture, is there any 1 volt per octave?
Yeah,
control?
No, they totally did do that when they pressed the infinite button and then pitched it around. I don't think it's labelled 1 volt per octave, though.
Even so, you wouldn't need a hell of a lot to feed into it.
Yeah.
Maybe the new Dreadbox little voice and this be a nice little combo.
Yeah, oh, it's size and or pitch on the top right patch point. That would be where you put in your note sequence, should that be what you want to do?
Yeah, or just some little sequencer or something that you trigger it with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm quite
juicy.
Looking forward to getting my hands on one. I'm not sure how, I mean, it's all just in pre-order at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And for what it does, I don't think the price is too out the way, considering it's a Strymon.
Well, if it's anything like the Magneto, we'll borrow one from Strymon and it will never leave the shop. I say we. It's not me anymore.
No.
But yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah. I most probably won't get one in the first tranche. I'll wait till they're commonly available.
Just in case there's bugs.
I was hankering after getting a IntelliGel Rainmaker.
Oh, yeah. That's a different vibe. Another cool module, though.
But again, they're out of stock everywhere.
Yeah. They'll be heavily based on whatever big, bad chip powers everything, won't they?
Yes, and supplies aren't necessarily improving too much, certainly in the areas of IT that I get involved with. The things are quite dire, and they do still seem to be pretty bad in the sort of musical hardware line of things.
We did manage to get our hands on an NVIDIA Quadro, though, at work, which will be cool. I'm quite excited to put some of my projects on there and see how much better it is than the 3070 I think I'm using.
Yeah. 3070 is still quite a current card, even though
it's second or third from the top, I think.
And that's not cutting it.
It kind of is. I'm doing a project at the moment that has a lot of a plugin called Trapcode Particular. So it's just a particle system generatory thing. And I've done all I can to kind of optimize it, and I can't preview in real time, so it's making work a little head smashing.
So, I mean, those sort of applications you you really do have to throw a lot of GPU power.
Yeah, and it's always frustrating to see when they're not very well optimized. So I'll be, you know, rendering out a project, and I'll go onto sort of the performance manager or whatever, and I can see that my CPU is at 60% and the GPU is at 5. It's really irritating. Never mind.
Fair enough. So what's the CPU on that particular unit?
I don't know if we went Intel or AMD on that one, but I believe I've got 8 cores.
Okay.
I don't know. I've been out of the computer hardware world for so long. When I built my first PC, it was an Intel 2500K, which was an i5 that was quite good. And I remember at that point, you'd sort of make the joke when you're trying to talk to somebody who was making like they knew about computers, and you said, oh yeah, I've got an i7 in mine. That, at the time, being the top tier of consumer CPUs, and they go, yeah, I've got an i9, and you'd laugh at them because they didn't exist. It's like, they don't make i9s. Of course, now they do, which is weird. Intel i9. Those will be, yeah, 8 cores, and they've probably got a 32-core Xeon or something these days. I don't know anything.
Yeah, major workstation processor.
Indeed. I think AMD's Epic line is kind of ruling the big bad multi-threading kind of world these days, since I've been getting back into my Linus Tech Tips on YouTube. But what do I know? What do I know? I'm not up to date. But we've gone from the Starlab, and then I remember that I actually forgot about one of our synthy somethings. So look, here's another one for you. Roland! This is the first time I've seen a Roland headline and not been bored senseless. So, sorry Roland, we're back with some boutique stuff. I like the boutique range, even though they are kind of annoying sometimes by being slightly too expensive or not having enough voices. I'm looking at you, those Juno ones. But we have the JX08 and the JD08. Were you familiar with their real-life counterpart?
Equivalent of a JX8P.
JX8P and the JD800. JX8P being post-Juno.
Yes, because I had a...
Still analog, though.
Sort of starting to cross over. I'm not sure. I don't know if they're DCOs on there. I had a JX3P.
Yes.
And the PG200 programmer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had that after I had my Juno 60.
Gotcha. Let me just quickly Google to find out about the old ones.
But didn't the JX8P have the white clean sort of taking after the DX7 in that respect?
Yes, indeed. I've just scrolled down through the article enough to find it. But yes, indeed, it was everybody's favourite impossible to program polysynth, says Gear News. Apparently it sounds great and was a favourite apart from the headaches that you'd have trying to use it. But that was...
I think you needed a PG1000 programmer to program it, possibly.
PG800.
Oh, there we go. PG800.
Yeah. So then that was the analog one. The JD08. Vintage Synth Explorer, come to my rescue. JX8P. Yes, indeed. So the wipe clean thing. JX8P is was a six voice polyphonic synthy Mosizor. And yes, this is DCOs for standard Juno kind of sounds, but generally liked.
Is it a JD800, the keyboard?
JD800, that's the one. So it is a digital synthesizer, but after there'd been a few, like the DX7, which were untold misery to program, so it's that one with the millions of sliders all over it.
Was it sort of analog modeling type thing?
Let's find out. What can Vintage Synth Explorer tell us? ROM-based waveforms, sounds based on the D50, but with multi-mode filters. And another one of those ones that's been used by everybody you could care to mention from the 80s.
Must be quite late 80s. What sort of date have we got on there?
Said 80s. It actually ended its production the year I was born, so 1991 to 1996. But now, available in boutique flavours, should you desire to own one of those. I don't know why I'd specifically want those, but they're there if you want them.
Well, I've always said that Roland are still camping out on all their old successes.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Of course, compatible with the usual little keyboard to make that sort of stand-up baby synthesizer that we know and love. And I'm sure they'll be fun. There we are. The end of Synth News, and indeed, the end of the podcast, for this week at least. It's time for the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation. And I've got one. It's a musical thing available on any streaming service that you care to use, but I would recommend checking them out on YouTube because they are a bit of an audio-visual experience. Not in the super artsy-fartsy way, but there's a bit of a story to tell from the artist Ólafur Arnalds from Iceland. And the album, I think you should listen to the whole thing, is called Island Songs, and they're all about his home country. In particular, I really enjoy Doria, second to last. A lot of this kind of stuff, he's going to be using a system that he, don't know if he pioneered it, but he's definitely developed it with someone. It's super cool. He will have his main piano, he's a pianist, he'll be playing that, and he'll have a synthesizer or a controller keyboard of some kind on top, which is hooked up to something, I assume, like Max MSP or Pure Data or something. But it is then piped into two MIDI-controlled acoustic upright pianos. So he'll hold a chord, or play some chord progressions, or even noodle a bit, and that MIDI data will go through whatever program it is, and they'll do some stuff based on what he's playing. He kind of accompanies himself, and you can see the pianos playing themselves, which is kind of interesting. But it's super cool. Lots of stuff with a string group. I don't know the size of the string group, but it's relaxing and very beautiful. And you should listen to it. So, Island Songs, the album by Olafur Arnalds. I will spell that for you. O-L-A-F-U-R. There is an accent on the O, but it won't matter for your searching. And then his surname, A-R-N-A-L-D-S. Enjoy. What have you got, Pete?
Right, I typically like to keep up with current technology in many forms, especially things like solar energy, power generation, clean energy, etc., etc.
Gotcha.
That type of thing. And I found this YouTube channel, which is quite informative, as the particular gentleman who hosts and does all the commenting on it gives what I would describe as a relatively unbiased opinion. He's obviously very in favour of these type of technologies, but at the same extent, he doesn't try and dress it up if they have certain shortcomings or the technology isn't quite there. He goes into quite a lot of depth without overdoing it, because some channels or some commentators go so deep it gets quite boring.
And yeah,
it's about as exciting as reading some white paper.
Not digestible.
Yes, exactly. So the channel is called Undecided with Matt Ferrell.
That rings a bell. Matt Ferrell. Wait, that's because it's the name of the hacker character from Die Hard 4.
Okay.
I think. Anyway, sorry, Pete, continue.
And he does this YouTube channel, and he also does a podcast and several other things. The channel has been going for quite some time, and he's getting good substantial amount of hits. I mean, recent videos are sort of getting into the millions of views, and they feature things like solid-state wind power, which is quite different.
Solid-state, to me, implies no moving parts.
Exactly. Wow. So you have wind traveling through an apparatus where it creates energy, but there's no sort of blades or anything moving. It's just wind passing over various...
I smell magic.
it's all explained in the video. And he looks at solar, he looks at battery technology, all that type of stuff, fusion energy.
Fusion's cool.
If you're interested in those type of technologies, it's certainly worth a watch. That is my recommendation for this week, the YouTube channel Undecided with Matt Ferrell.
Lovely stuff. Well, apologies again from both of us for getting the lurgy, but we'll be back next week for episode 98. We hope you tune in, and we'll see you then.
We didn't explain it wasn't COVID.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't COVID, I swear. No, we're fine. Buckets of tests were had, and we're all good. We'll see you then. Stay safe.